Today's episode is brought to you by Sock Fancy. That's right, Sock Fancy. Random socks delivered to you every month. And they're awesome. Free shipping anywhere in the world. Hundreds of designs, never the same pair twice. Free exchanges, and you can cancel at any time. They're made from over 70% premium cotton for supremely comfortable and durable socks. Get an extra pair of socks added to any subscription for free when you go to sockfancy.com/bonkers. Okay, that's sockfancy.com/bonkers. Enter in the code bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, at checkout. That's sockfancy.com/bonkers to get a free pair added to your subscription when you enter the offer code bonkers at checkout. If Grease was a seminal movie about teens, the 50s, and being cool, this movie is like its dumb brother who always has a hard-on and talks about doing it. We saw Grease 2, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Yes, hello people of Earth, and welcome to a very special How Did This Get Made? We are in the home of Anna Faris. We are in the studio of Unqualified, and I'm joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas.
Hey-o!
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm great. How are you, Paul?
Good. It would be weird if I said that our guest was not Anna Faris, but we were recording.
and our guest is...
Guess what?
Julia Roberts.
Oh.
We are very excited to have you to talk about this movie, because this movie... I mean, it falls in the tradition of great musical sequels like Miss Saigon 2, all those
more great, Chicago,
Hamilton 6. It's really good. And now, just I want to get it out of the way and just say there is someone in this room that knows every line to Grease 2.
Every single line.
Not me. It's Jason's you.
It's not me. So, shockingly.
Anna's you?
Not me.
June?
It's me, and here's why.
Oh, boy.
So when I was growing up, my neighbors, the Schurings, had a VHS player. And they had two tapes, Grease 1 and Grease 2.
That's so funny. I have the same story.
The Schurings?
Yes. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. No, I have the same story except with Grease 1. Because I'm a little older, the first people that I knew that had a VCR, they had two movies, same, Grease 1 and Hooper.
Wow.
The Burt Reynolds, Jan Michael Vincent vehicle, which I would like to now do on this show.
Later on, absolutely. And later on, we got a VHS player, and I immediately got Grease 1, Grease 2, and we also got the movie Regarding Henry.
Okay.
Okay.
The Harrison Ford movie where he gets shot in the head.
That J.J. Abrams wrote in college.
Yeah.
Wow. So this movie to me is everything.
Saw Grease 1.
No, I've seen Grease 1. But I saw it many, many times. I preferred
that's fascinating.
Grease 2.
Wow. But
I need to know. I know you're going to give this to us, but why? Well, it's very hard because I feel like Grease 2... I was so obsessed with Michelle Pfeiffer in this movie. I was so obsessed with this cool lady.
This movie has...
Can I tell you that you sort of... You look like...
That's like the highest praise anyone's
Michelle Pfeiffer
ever given me.
I want you to climb a ladder.
Physically?
Where she kicks over her leg...
Yeah.
On the ladder.
I want you to ride it.
It was thrilling to me. I was so obsessed with her, and I was so obsessed with her attitude
and her, I mean, I felt like this movie is where I learned about life beyond third grade. I swear to God, like I studied it.
I get what you,
I watched it a million times.
But it's so oddly based because I feel like
it doesn't add up.
Well, but here's the thing. When you're a child, when you're in third grade, like you're not looking at movies to be good or bad.
No,
sure.
You're
just so psyched to watch a movie.
It is just a movie. There is no value judgment on it. It's just a movie.
Absolutely.
And back then you would watch it, especially in that instance where you only had two tapes, you would watch it constantly.
And over.
But it's all sexual. I mean, that's the other thing too. It's like,
I look at this movie as like, it was a sexual awakening for me. I was obsessed with Michael Carrington. I was in love with him. Watching it today, I felt a lot of the same feelings.
When's the last time you watched, do you think? Back then, or is it something you have continued to keep
up
with?
No, I haven't seen it in like over a decade. Yeah, okay. I haven't seen it since I was younger, but it held up for me in the way that it needed to for
me. I bet.
Wow.
I mean, Paul, you saw me watch it. Yeah. I was so thrilled.
I've never seen her watch a movie for this show more in rapt attention.
I love it.
Cross-legged, crisscross applesauce, watching this movie with a big smile on your face.
I can see that.
And sing the songs.
With a movie like this, yeah.
And the songs in this, I don't think are that great.
Oh, This is what I'm going to say. I see that completely. I get it. You became obsessed with this movie at a time when movies weren't good or bad. They were just the movies. And I get it. I also want to say this movie, which I have never seen before, is terrible.
Yeah.
It is unequivocally terrible. The songs are awful.
And it is, and they're all about sex.
And I love Grease. I think Grease is, and I hate musicals. I loathe musicals. And I think Grease is, I feel about Grease the way you feel about Grease 2.
I've seen both of them, and I grew up on both of them. And let me tell you, Grease 2, for me, as a young girl, I had way more to grab onto. Yeah. When Stephanie Zanoni says, like, there's got to be more to life than just making out. You know, there are themes in this movie.
It's a feminist Grease. I mean, that is true.
Sure. And yep. I was so obsessed with her attitude and her insistence upon, like, finding this guy who was challenging and, you know,
You're right in the sense that this is a better story for a girl.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
She's the leader of the Pink Ladies, but is a tomboy. She works at her dad's garage, but is like the unequivocal leader of like the it group on campus. She is obsessed with cool riders. Like, I get
By the way,
all of
she
that.
Is cool as shit. Like, I mean, anything you can take away from this movie.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer. This movie for me has like all of my childhood crushes in one movie because the Seagal twins are also in this movie. The twins from Double Trouble, who I've talked about before. They are the cheerleaders.
I didn't realize that they were the cheerleaders.
They go on to be the Double Trouble twins in the 80s.
Weren't they blonde in that show?
In which show?
Double Trouble?
No, they're kind of brunettes.
Okay.
And I was obsessed with the Double Trouble girls, and I had like a sexual awakening to Michelle Pfeiffer in the movie Lady Hawk. When Michelle Pfeiffer was in Lady Hawk, I lost my mind. Oh. And the fact that she dated Fisher Stevens, who is maybe the closest celebrity I look like growing up, I was like, there is hope. There is hope for someone like me that I could get a Michelle Pfeiffer. And I'm still coming for you, Michelle. David E.
By
Kelly,
the way, where did get out of my way? She looks as good as she did then.
She looks amazing.
Unbelievable.
Where do you fall on this? First time.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. I'm going to breathe heavily into the microphone. But no, okay. I have a few thoughts. Of course I do. But I don't. All right. So the corniness of like Bridal High and like truly when I started watching it because of your.
We made you watch it.
You made me watch it again. And I had watched it as a child or whatever, and I liked Grease 1, but...
I thought you wanted to do this movie for the podcast.
I did.
Okay.
But I did.
Because I was honestly like, oh...
I did.
This movie does not belong in this podcast.
Yeah, June said to me in the way over.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No,
and I thought, Anna, that you were coming to it with the same love that I was, and I was like, great, I'd love to share in that.
I just have a complicated relationship with Grease because of my mom. My mom was always like... A woman should never succumb to a man. Like, you know.
Oh, should never change like,
yes,
for a man.
Yes.
So man. This like movie would work for your mom really well.
A little bit better, yes.
Because the man changes.
Yes.
Or would she be like, nobody should change?
Yeah.
Is she? Would she be like, inherently the message behind either Grease is flawed?
Yeah, but.
We should be accepting of who the people we are.
Right, yeah. You should become somebody else.
But, you know, like ultimately what she also doesn't realize is that I totally changed for all the... 3 men I've dated, 5 men I've slept with.
And let's just very quickly let's give full first names, last names, and let's just get Twitter handles if they got them. Let's get it out there. Let's get the info out there.
It is a crazy. I mean, look at the base of this movie. It's stealing from a Steve Guttenberg film or a Steve Guttenberg film. So, remember that movie? Don't Tell Her It's Me, where he pretends to be like a biker to get a girl. Like. Maybe it was only me. I was a big
goot. I don't remember that. You were a big
fan.
You were a big goot head.
The scenes where he's driving around with her and he's wearing those goggles.
He's a strange, sexy man. What could be better?
Leather jacket.
Yeah.
What could be better?
Itching to talk. You're so right, June, but I'm so itching to talk about the sexy teacher.
Okay.
Oh, Connie Stevens?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Talk about it.
Right? I mean, that's Connie Stevens, right?
Yeah, right? Like,
I think so.
Like wait, boobies.
And, yes, and hair.
And hair. And they keep talking about
lots of hair.
And she constantly has the hairspray.
And why, like, the dudes are like, I don't know. The dudes, what are they called? They're not.
T-Birds.
Yeah. It's the wait, Thunderbirds.
Is her name, is that Lorna Luft?
No, it's.
Oh. No,
it's,
that's Paulette.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
No, it's Connie Stevens.
And I don't know. They're always like, "Ooh, we want to get a piece of you," and she's like, "Hoo, hee, hee."
Well, this movie also
the sexual politics of this movie are pretty insane.
Well, see, here's the thing. And as a child growing up, I mean, this to me, my mother always told me that when people would ask me what I wanted to be when I was older, I would say a teenager.
Yes,
I was obsessed with becoming a teenager, and it was because of these movies. And to me, I grew up thinking like, "Well, men are predators." I mean,
what's interesting is that you're growing up in the 80s, getting all of your information about teenagers from people who are portraying teenagers in the 50s
and who are people in their 30s
representing the attitudes of the 1950s
written by someone in the 80s.
Yes.
Which is based on a movie that's kind of a cartoon of the 50s.
Honestly,
and this is a cartoon of that.
That's where my worldview like started.
And I've said this about other movies.
Of a cartoon of teenagers.
I've said this about other movies. This movie is horny in a way that is like aimless.
As I'm saying, it's like Grease with a heart on. It's like,
It's horny without any follow through.
Well, let's talk about the beginning of this movie. I would say that a surefire way to know that you're not in a good musical is when your opening musical number has no one singing on screen.
Yeah.
Like the opening musical number is like jittery Frankenstein dancing. Now you had a thought about this.
Well, I did think like when I started to watch Grease 2 again recently, I was thinking, man, okay. So I guess the logical thought is like, all right, you guys, everyone, let's all perform like the dance that we've been practicing all summer at 8:30 a.m. and in like before like the school flag, and we're gonna annoy everyone, but we're gonna do this shit, and like you know we're gonna it's like a you know like a flash. Mob.
Like a flash mob. It's a kind of like a big...
But it's in that musical sense. What I couldn't... I felt
can
like...
Can you imagine... Like Jason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anna.
Okay. So listen.
Are we fighting?
Okay. No. But listen. Let's say it's June 20th.
Great.
It's school's like... Fine.
School's out for summer.
School's out for summer. Right? and I call you up a few days later, and I'm like, hey, and I'm like,
do we have a license? Have we licensed that song?
But I'm like, hey, Jason.
Yes, Anna.
Okay. Oh God. So I really want to start practicing the dance.
Oh, for the first day of school dance number?
Yeah.
We should start. We should start practicing.
Yeah, but you have to because it's coming up. Yeah. You know?
And every single person in school participates.
Yeah. So we're gonna have to like. We gotta start on that now because 8:30, you know, at like
when those buses
September
pull
3rd.
Up,
when those buses pull up, once they're halfway through hanging the flag,
yeah,
shit's gonna go down.
So we gotta start doing that, right?
And that fucking idiot with the cello.
So if you don't start practicing with me,
why did the T-Birds hate
you?
Nerds.
Were so right. There was nerds. A huge like cello, man coming in. Yes, yeah. So if you're
don't worry. If you're wondering if nerds got theirs in this movie, they did.
Oh yeah,
they did.
But that to me also
except
was
for Michael Carrington.
Michael Carrington is deemed a nerd, quite literally, just the most hunky guy right out the gate. Like the
and
name
he has like
glasses
a British
on him.
Accent. He's like
he has a breathy British accent. Now you know what? I feel like they don't make him like this anymore. He's an old timey like dreamboat.
Yep.
A dreamboat.
That is a t-shirt right there.
He's so great. So
what is missing also, for me in this movie... Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
No, I was going to say, there is a great New York Magazine article that was written about him when the movie came out, and he is such a pompous jerk.
No.
It's one of the best.
Had he done... Was he famous for something else?
Honestly, I don't know if I can hear this.
Wow.
I don't know if I can
Paul,
hear this.
What do you got?
Well, this is one of the lines that goes, you know...
British accent,
this,
Paul.
Breathy.
I don't know how to say this because it sounds so vain, but I've written a script... And the script I've written is the best one that I've ever read. It's a script called Nemesis. And then the reporter goes, well, I pointed out that Agatha Christie had written a mystery called Nemesis. Well, it's not very well known, is it? Or successful?
Oh, my
he
God.
He asked worriedly.
That's like the Steven Seagal quote. The Steven Seagal quote, which is he's in and off. It could be apocryphal. Yeah. I don't know. Allegedly, at the height of Seagal mania, he is in a meeting and they're like, well, what are you going to do or whatever? What do you want to do? And he goes, I've just read the most amazing script.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, really? And he said, whatever it was. And they said, who wrote it? And he said, I did. And I love that story. I'm sure it's like some sort of urban legend that is being attributed to Seagal, but come on, it kind of works.
I would so be guilty of that.
Really?
Yes. Like
you would write a script and then tee it up for yourself that way?
No, I would never write a script because I can't write. I don't even know how to write.
That is true. You are one of Hollywood's most successful illiterates.
But I'm serious. Like ask me.
You have someone in your ear saying it
phonetically. Ask me a question, and I'll try to answer in like an incredibly pretentious way.
Oh, okay. Anna, what was it like to work with Key and Peele in the movie Keanu?
Oh my God. Well, it's really remarkable to work with somebody who is not only comedic, but incredibly intellectual. And it felt like I was able to be my intellectual self as well.
Oh, that's great.
Well, by the way, that's almost, listen to this answer. He goes, I'm not that dedicated to my craft. I like being regarded as an artist, but I really want to become a star. This acting thing is a lark, a big game. And now I want to play another game. Oh, I want to get into race cars. I have a 65 Vette, and I can really move. When this is over, I want to rent one of those vans with the airbrushing on the side and go down to Mexico with Juliet, his 41-year-old wife at 22 years old.
What?
And no.
Ooh,
and no.
Are they still together?
And no, the kid gets left behind. Are you kidding? And I'm taking a shotgun. I've heard of those banditos.
Oh, this kid's amazing.
This article is amazing.
June, though.
You like him?
You like him?
No, I didn't like
him. Oh, no, he's a dreamboat.
No, but I'm with you.
They're both so dreamy. I mean, here's the thing watching it now that...
Who's more dreamy, him or Adrian Zemed?
Who's Adrian Zemed?
Oh, wow. He's like the leader of the T-Birds.
Oh, of course.
Joey?
Almost played by
Nagarelli or yes, Johnny. Nagarelli. Of course, Johnny. He's not dreamy at all to me. I find him to be unappealing.
Isn't he always trying to make out with the other one?
He's always trying to make
Michelle Pfeiffer jealous by making out with the
blonde. And by the way, I think he's great. He's amazing in this, but I don't find him dreamy. But
I think he would be more amazing in it if I never saw Danny Zuko. Like, because I feel like it's just like a community theater version of Danny Zuko. And I don't mean that.
Because Michelle is Danny Zuko. I mean, Stephanie Zanoni is Danny Zuko.
But he is Danny Zuko.
He occupies the same kind of, but he's not.
We don't care for him like we care about.
Right.
Correct.
Stephanie Zanoni or Danny Zuko.
My biggest problem, not my biggest problem because I have like a lot of big problems with this movie, but my biggest problem was that like the songs in Grease are story songs.
Yeah.
They are songs that illustrate and give context to the story. The songs in this movie do not do that. Like the opening dance number there is nothing to it. The bowling song is not forwarding the story at all. They are song breaks
which are veiled references to sex.
Yeah, which are just sexy songs, but they're really a lot of times just like kind of choruses without verses.
Yeah, agreed.
Which is not fun to watch at all. And the songs in Grease are so compelling. You know what I mean?
They're
integral to the story. Like when you have that opening number in Grease that gives you who is he, who is she, what was the summer, and where are they now? Boom.
What you get is stuff totally. Like this. This is what you get. Like that big dance number is going on, and then all of a sudden Frenchie comes back.
Frenchie comes back to go to school.
Yeah, to she's not a go teacher. Take a high school class on chemistry.
That's correct.
This is like, a big giant musical number is going on, and you think, all right, well, let's lay down some of our main characters. Nope, you get this, a stop in the music, Michael. And then this.
Frenchie, hello. Hi. Thanks for meeting me.
Oh, listen, when your cousin Sandy told me you were coming to school in America, I said, Sandy, any cousin of yours is a cousin of mine.
Yes, she did say you were the one to know the ropes around here.
Oh, ropes are my specialty. See, I used to go to Rydell before I dropped out to go to beauty school, but then I flunked tinting when my hair turned pink.
Pink?
So that's
more of that. Like Frenchie really has to justify her existence.
And by the way,
then I flunked beauty school in my house.
I can't do it.
Frenchie,
June, can you do it?
No, I can't do it.
There's a sponsor on this show that I love so much because it is a sponsor that makes a product that I use every single day. I'm talking about Sonos. That's right. Sonos is the smart speaker system that streams all of your favorite music to any room or every room. Now, here's the deal. Do you live in a house? Amazing. You can have speakers in the kitchen. You can have speakers in your bedroom. You can have speakers in the bathroom. They can all be playing the same thing or all playing different things. And you control it just by your phone, the volume, the levels of what you're listening to. I love Sonos. It's a simple app that controls all of your music through these amazing speakers. So put a Sonos in your house today. Play a different song in the living room, the bedroom, and even the bathroom, or the same track in every room. Sonos is the best because it also uses all the services that you listen to. That's Amazon, that is Spotify, that is iTunes, whatever you want, it pulls it all together. Sonos, discover something new.
When I saw her in the movie, I was reminded of how good Grease 1 was and how good even a song like Beauty School Dropout, which is not
great song.
Well, Beauty School Dropout.
It is and it isn't. Like it's not it's there are many songs that are so much better in Grease 1, but sort of a song like the songs that are in Grease 2, which are sort of meaningless, you know, but it's so well done in Grease 1.
Yes.
Here's a real
and I
sad.
I agree with all this, but I sort of feel like an Amazon reviewer. Like I really do. Like I agree with all of it and I could care but it's less. In
your, well, that's the thing we can logically pick it apart, but this movie lives in your heart.
It really does. The only thing that was hard for me in this viewing was watching it as a child. I thought of myself as Stephanie Zanoni and I was like, oh, that's a part I want to play. I want to be her. I want to play this part. And watching it this time, I was like, oh, am I Miss Mickey?
Whoa.
I was watching Miss Mickey's performance. Huh. Miss Mickey and Blanche are a comedic duo.
I think that is right.
Great. And by the way, they're from Grease 1. They're just amazing together. I'm obsessed with the two of them. Blanche is just comedy phenomenal. But so is Miss Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's doing...
You'll get no argument from me.
Great work out there. And so when I was... It was interesting to watch it now because as a child, I didn't notice her or care about her at all. And now I was watching it and like, oh, wow, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. And what a fun role to play. And I felt in some ways more connected to Miss McGee.
But then don't you also...
Mustn't
you also then say to yourself like, oh, you are so attracted or were so attracted as a child to
Michael Carrington
that were you to engage in that relationship now, it would be incredibly inappropriate.
Well, I don't know, the actor himself was probably a lot older. He was probably
22.
I think it would be fine.
You'd date a 22-year-old. You're on record as saying you'd date a 22-year-old.
There's nothing legally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I get that. Yes, of course.
I think he's British and he's mature.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was dating a 41-year-old.
Yeah.
Or he married. What did you say? Married.
The weird song where they're talking about like reproductive.
Amazing. Stuff.
Stamen Pistol.
That whole number is thrilling to me.
That's sex ed. Thrilling. Horny. The movie is horny.
We have to talk about the idea, I think, of Michelle Pfeiffer's virginity. Like,
I don't see her as a virgin.
I think that
what's her name? The blonde is a virgin.
Yes, Paulette is, but it's interesting.
I think they try to like have it each way. Like
they don't call out that she's having a lot of sex.
No, but to me, she's probably when slept with Johnny before.
I don't know.
You think?
Yes,
because remember she had to like put on the skirt, like she. And then during that whole reproductive thing, she's like standing up there as a powerful woman, but she's not participating in the idea of, and then she is like defiant about the idea of her own sexuality. She's like, I want somebody who I can like ride with or whatever. And I'm going to wait for it.
I think you're right because I feel like all these people, like all the group, all the people in the Johnny group, like, were trying to always have sex, but they weren't like succeeding. Yeah. They were getting close to it. Hence the date rape song, which we should get into in a little bit.
That changes everything. Cause to me, I felt this growing up, she was not a virgin. She was like a total, like she had had sex before with Johnny and she was like a sexually mature woman child, I guess, but you know, who was looking for
I wonder if, the right and guy. We're not going to be able to come up with this answer, but I would love for people to weigh in.
Let's call Michelle Pfeiffer right now. Yeah.
I would love to know, like, this, because this movie is 1980s obsessed with virginity. You know, like virginity, like was losing it is the title of Tom Cruise's first movie, right?
By the way, Tom Cruise is supposed to play the Adrian Samed part.
Amazing. Sure thing. Like these are movies that are entirely predicated on teenagers losing their virginity.
Porky's.
That doesn't exist anymore in, we don't see that in TV. Like that's not a thing anymore. Like the movie that is based on the necessity of losing it, or you know, like right. like they, you know, they in this movie, it's
always like one character. It's like
we almost got in a car crash. Oh, and we would have died. I would have died a virgin. Can you imagine?
Like, it's American Pie is the closest thing that was like
sure.
That.
20 years old now.
Wow.
About, I mean, it must be.
Yeah,
right?
You're right. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Are millennials as
post-virginity?
Are millennials post-virginity? Like, obviously, I'm sure they as people are obsessed with their own virginities, etc. But they're not seeing it portrayed the way we all were.
Because that's special.
Well, because, and I think that something else is happening, which is that
they're all just fingering each other's buttholes?
No, they're probably fingering each other. But vibrators. Also, I think people are coming out, with their sexuality and also coming out with their identity.
I also
and
think
that's
porn.
More important than their
I also
virginity.
Think porn.
Oh, really?
I also think everybody's watching porn since they're like little kids now. It's all online. So they're like, the idea of like a
was always around.
Not this way, though.
I mean, like, porn for us was like, find it in the woods.
Yeah.
Under an old
stump. I don't want to talk about the woods again.
But like gone are the days where, in order to see like a naked woman, you had to, like, you know, as represented in movies, find like a hole in a wall that you could look into the girl's bathroom.
But are you saying that people, because young men, I mean, maybe young women are watching porn, I don't know, but are watching porn, they feel they've had sex?
I think there isn't as much.
It scratches an itch.
I wonder if losing your virginity has the same weight. I don't know. I'm curious. Maybe this is old man talk. Anna Faris is eating her own birthday cake. Happy birthday, honey.
Yeah, it does bum me out too, actually.
I'm genuinely curious, and I don't know. Maybe this is like, to young listeners, but what is, like, I was they're saying, rolling though, is their like,
eyes. Isn't the big, like, you know, transition for teens and millennials or whatever more about identity now than like just the actual act of having sex, and more about
who they are as a person?
Who they are, like emo, this, that, you know. I mean, I guess jocks and nerds have always. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, now
the nerds are jocks, though.
Now the movie would be about like the T-Birds going to that British guy to take cool Instagram photos, and they would steal the credit for the photo instead of papers.
I will say, if somebody went to the trouble of writing like a bunch of like fake like papers and whatnot for me, and like, and then ended up like buying a motorcycle for me and fixed it up. And ended up like, I'd be like, fuck you. I have no self-esteem. So, like, I'm not going to accept this. So.
Wait, you have no, like, so you're saying.
Why would you would say that out of you not having self-esteem? Because I feel like you'd be like, you don't have self-esteem. You should have represented yourself as
a
British man in a blazer. You shouldn't have had to change.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he wanted to change for me. That means that I have to.
You're both
like,
disasters then.
Yeah.
We're all disasters.
See, this is the way I see it, as different as the. It's, to me, it's not that he wanted to change for her, or that he even did change for her. Because I felt in Grease 1, she was definitely making a choice. Like, she comes out in that outfit in the end, and it's like, oh, I've never seen this person before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a completely different person. In Grease 2, though, to me, it felt like, oh, no, this is actually who he is. He's more pulling out this side of himself. And he wants her to see it, but it's not as stark a change.
What's interesting is that this movie plays it both ways. They both have him change. They both have him undergo the transformation that is that which she thinks she wants. She wants, as exemplified in the song Cool Rider. He hears her
sing. Want me to sing it, or should I just?
He hears her sing Cool Rider. Go ahead.
Okay. If you really want to know what I want in a guy. Well, I'm looking for a dream on a mean machine with hell in his eyes. I want different skin. Guys, it's so good.
You want to sing.
I know you're going to climb this ladder. Come on.
I want to watch
June, do it.
Wild as the wind. And one fine night, I'll be holding on tight to a cool. It's so
fans.
Good.
No, you have the vocal track.
If you don't continue,
I'm trying to remember the next verse. I think there at one point like, it goes.
Yeah, I need a cool.
That's the way it's gonna be.
Cool,
because that's the way that I feel. I wanna leave. I'm gonna be mad. Now I can't remember any of it. It's so good.
He takes that song.
So good.
And basically transforms himself
into the cool rider.
But the movie also gives them a storyline wherein they become friends. Wherein he's helping her with her English paperwork, her English homework,
and they have one scene together.
There's a couple scenes where they show them, because I think it would have been insane because he starts the movie, he's asking her out constantly. Can you meet me after school? Will you go out with me? And she's like, take a hint. The answer is no. And but this is a movie wherein like he's like, okay, you can say no to me, but I'm gonna become the guy you want me to be. And also it gives you a little bit of, but they also are compatible. Here's
because you have this diner code. You can't date me because of the code.
But that's not why she's not interested in him.
Here's the thing. No, of course not. But
she's not interested in him because he's like a
nerd.
He's a nerd.
After coming out of Grease 1 with Sandy and the poodle skirts, to watch Stephanie Zanoni in one of the opening scenes wear pants and then forget that she has to wear a skirt at school and put that skirt over it and pull those pants up, like I mean, there's something to be said about the response to Grease 1 for, I mean, ultimately, I wish the story had been, well, I don't really wish it, but I suppose there's another reading of it where she could actually want to ride a motorcycle. I mean, she still does want to just simply
date the best rider.
Yeah.
Yes. Like the movie could be, why can't I be in the T-Birds?
Right. Especially because she seems to be a mechanic.
She is quite possibly the most qualified person to ride a motorcycle entire group.
I do want to talk just for a second about the T-Birds also, because I don't understand the T-Birds here, because the T-Birds seemingly are not like really a motorcycle gang, or at least comparatively.
But they're very funny. They're like a bunch. They riff like things.
But they're like missing a leader. Like,
they are missing a leader.
They say really funny things like, oh, yo, you want this cake? Oh, I don't even know if I want this cake.
Are these lines from the movie?
Are you talking
about the cake that's in front of you right now? Once again, your birthday cake. Happy birthday.
But it's very funny.
They also are like, they're like,
they say things like, I'm going to help her out with her condition. Oh, she's a nymphoid maniac. Nymphoid maniac.
What kind of,
Wait, is this where really you tell us goofy. You auditioned to play one of the T-Birds in this movie?
Hey, you're not gonna.
This is more Stallone.
This is our locker.
This is more like Rocky.
This is my locker. No one's taking this locker away from us.
They're like human apes, and yet they're afraid to wreck their reputation by having it known that someone's doing their homework. Wouldn't you think that would be?
Oh, and they're also.
Hey, no one's gonna.
They've got a rep to protect.
They're also
you and I, not no one else.
And they don't.
They don't fight.
$3 They're scared.
Let's go bring a girl down to a shelter. Try to.
In my mind, like their power had been diminished from Grease 1 to Grease 2. But I was okay with it.
They don't work on motorcycles. All they want to do is win a talent show. This is a fucking movie about...
They never got to get to spring. They are obsessed with four-part harmony. They're obsessed with four-part harmony.
And the only people they beat up are nerds who are good at three-part harmony. They hate musical nerds. That's all they hate. It's not cool. They don't ever work on them. You barely see their motorcycles. You see their motorcycles in one scene.
Like in two scenes. And more importantly, there is a true, like Michelle Pfeiffer should be dating the leader of the motorcycle rival gang.
Yes.
The man of the movie.
Like the 40-year-old who
Belmudo, thank you.
Who like... Like rides across the
track. Yes, she should be that. The story should be.
He was the same actor who played Belmudo in Grease 1.
I love it. Yes,
I think so. Which I think is the right choice. Like he's just a super senior. He's always there.
He's McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
Wait, isn't his name Craterface or no?
It was in Grease 1.
They reference it in Grease 2.
Yeah.
But actually, he was really hot. But it was a little bit weird that he did go psychic, like with a 40 other motorcycle buddies across the track. Then they decided to go bowling together.
Is it interesting to know that the sequel to Grease 2 was written by the guy who wrote and directed Airplane 2?
Really? That does not surprise me.
It kind of actually answers a lot of questions for me. Another little fact here, this is for people at home that have not seen the movie. At 13 minutes and 30 seconds, hit that pause button because some dude's junk falls out of his pants.
Really?
A guy running track, I've watched it now, his testicles fall out of his shorts.
Oh my God.
And he's trying to tuck them back in for the rest of the run, and it's... It's
June. I can't. As a child, you weren't clocking the balls.
I ask June, woman to woman?
Oh boy, here we go.
When a man's balls fall out of his shorts, It's like kind of secretly hot, right?
Not to me.
This are you is sure? Humanity. This like is how really we are as humans.
Think about this.
I Come can on. Tell it's you sort
of,
it is not.
It's kind of hot, though. Not. We're like, really, though. Let's think about it. When you really think about, like, some sweet balls, like, falling right out of... No?
Right out of, like, a pair of dolphin shorts?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were involved in this conversation. Oh, what's going
on? I'm just talking about those sweet, sweet balls, like, just sweet plopping balls. Plopping right out of those track shorts.
I feel like it's vulnerable and sexy at the same time.
Are you looking at it? Picture. Oh, wow.
What you're attracted to is the unexpected reveal of genitalia.
Oh, that's a great shot of it.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not supposed to see this. This is an accident.
So balls to you, do it.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Sweet balls.
1330, wow. Everybody.
It's unsettling.
Well, not as unsettling as this, where they take out all the sound and you heard.
What is this?
Very loud mouth sounds.
Wet mouth kissing. I'll play it again. Like it. This is when they finally kiss.
Ugh. All right. Well, I mean,
gross. I don't like it.
I do want to just give you a couple facts that I thought were funny. Sandy, or not Sandy, what is her name? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Stephanie.
Was going to work works at the gas station.
I keep almost saying Daphne Zuniga.
Daphne it's from Spaceballs.
And I keep wanting to say Gergen Eichenliebes.
The gas station that she worked at, that's where John Travolta and Sandy were going to cameo as the owners of that gas station.
Oh, interesting.
I don't want them owning that.
I don't want them still together. How many years after Grease 1 is Grease 2 meant to take place?
That's a great question. Australia.
It takes place in 1961, this movie.
Oh, really?
You've like dashed all my dreams.
I have?
Jason Mantzoukas, yes.
Can you accept my apology?
No. Fuck you.
Wow. Things are not good between me and guest Anna Faris.
Guest? Fuck you.
Okay, so Grease takes place in 1959. Grease 2 takes place in 1961.
Oh, 3 years is the difference?
Yes,
meant
I
to
mean,
believe?
Is
they
3 years.
Freshmen.
So these were freshmen when Danny Zuko was a senior? Yeah. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
So you're telling me these people have witnessed the events of Grease 1 and are participating in
this?
They should look at their lives and be like, you know what? We've already seen Danny Zuko go through this. We should kill ourselves.
Because
our lives are irrelevant.
Wouldn't you just be talking about
Danny
Zuko? Remember when that car flew away
up into the sky?
My first year here. That was insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk online also that the Robert Patrick character from Terminator 2 is the
who's that?
Goose?
No, is the main guy, the Holden Caulfield, whatever.
Oh, Michael Caulfield?
Yeah, is they're the same person because they wear the same eyewear.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's funny. Also, by the way, and I mean like, and I get it, it's for the romantic, story in the movie. But, like, she is right next to him. She's able to see 3/4 of his face and does not recognize him. And he has a very recognizable jawline. And she is like, I don't know who he is because he won't take his goggles off.
I will say, though, his accent drops away.
Why?
I don't know.
Why on earth?
But what's interesting about his accent initially, like, when he first enters the school, he speaks as though he doesn't know English.
Yes.
Like there's a quality to his voice where it seems like he doesn't know the language. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, well, no, he just is British.
Yeah. Well, and that kid is talking to him like, how long have you been in America?
I thought that was an okay joke for this movie.
I think there are some great jokes in here. Yep. The stuff, I really genuinely laughed when that teacher who's, you know, had the mental breakdown, walks up to the luau and walks straight into the pool. Yep. I mean, I had a laugh when I was 11, and I had another laugh this afternoon.
Nope, there's definitely jokes. There's definitely solid jokes in this
Airplane
movie.
Airplane 2 style jokes.
And that's actually what they are.
They are. I appreciated them.
We all know that cooking makes you more attractive. It is a true fact. I'm not a scientist. I've done no research, but I know it to be true. And Blue Apron wants to make you more attractive. How? By giving you amazing recipes, amazing ingredients, and giving you the ability to cook, okay? I have been using Blue Apron, and my meals are delicious. They're easy, and I feel like I've won because I've come home and I've done something with my day, all right? So Blue Apron is here to help you look better because you're going to be attractive to whoever you're cooking for, and feel better because it's going to give you an ego boost when you make something so fucking good-looking on a plate. And here's the best part about Blue Apron, okay? They are good for the community. That's right. They have partnerships with 150 farms, fisheries, and ranchers all across the United States. Plus, their seafood is sourced sustainably, their beef is raised humanely, their chickens are free range, and their pork is raised naturally. Okay? Plus, it can be delivered to like 99% of the country. So wherever you are, Blue Apron's gonna get there. Plus, Blue Apron doesn't waste ingredients. They give you just enough to make exactly what you need. Cooking together makes you happy. I know it. And for less than $10 a meal, it makes your wallet happy. Plus, you get seasonal recipes, so you don't get the same thing twice. And they know that the best food is with ingredients that are new, exciting, and cool. And that's what they're going to do for you. Let me tell you about some of the meals in December. Oh, they're so good. Roasted pork and braised cabbage with barley and glazed apples. Be honest. You couldn't make that if no one gave you a recipe. They're going to give you everything. How about Thai green coconut curry and sweet potato and jasmine rice? I love it. Brown butter and chestnut gnocchi with Brussels sprouts and pea shoot salad. Yes, yes, and yes. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. blueapron.com/bonkers. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. I wanted to, before we wrap it up, I do want to talk about the sex in the bunker scene.
Yeah, let's do it for America.
Yeah, let's do it for America. Let's play.
What's happening, Lewis?
The Russians are attacking. Get down!
He throws her in a bed.
Our very best. I know that we will more than pass the test.
What are you doing, Lewis? Get off of me.
Think about it. What if you and me was to die right here tonight without ever doing it?
Aunt? Oh, my God. Let me out of here, Lewis.
You crazy? They're dropping bombs out there.
Yeah, let's do it for our country. The red, white, and the blue. It's Uncle Sam who's asking. So your mother will approve.
Tomorrow I'll be fighting. I'm all in this war for you. Let's do our country. Our country wants us to.
I'm just picturing like a little kid June running around singing that song and your parents being like, what the fuck is going on?
I would sing Reproduction all the time.
Reproduction is also a sexual.
Oh, absolutely.
Reproduction is the horniest. This is the best song in the movie.
Yes.
100%. Shame and go berserk. Even know what a pistol is.
I got your pistol right here.
One of the best joys I've had, dear audience.
It's so good.
Is watching June sing. Like lyric by lyric.
And the joy.
The whole movie.
Oh, I love it.
By the way, I just love that. If you can't see it, but she just did like with her rolled her fingers. Like
I got you a pistol right here.
It's, I wish you could all, I want to have watched it with you.
I
will say in terms of social order, this is why I like this movie more also because of the way women treated each other. Paulette really does like Johnny and Michelle Pfeiffer, Stephanie Zanoni has had this relationship with Johnny. There's no competition between the Pink Ladies.
And there's no Starker Channing. Starker Channing. What's the character's name? One of the most amazing characters. Yeah.
The song she sings. But also the end song on Grease 1 that she sings about having had an or almost being pregnant.
Oh, by the way, they also just dropped that as a runner in this movie. She's like, I missed my period.
Yeah.
And like, what? Yeah. And then it's like, we don't follow that character at all. Yeah.
But it's a great joke. And Miss McGee,
it's a great joke.
Kills that
great
scene.
It's a great line.
Yeah, she does.
It's a great line, and it's a great look from her. It's okay, honey. You can make them up. And then, what?
It's so good.
I will say that when they get into the motorcycle chase with British guy, and he goes off the jump, and they think he's died, they are very casual about being murderers. The T-Birds are super casual about having just murdered someone, and then they're like, and everybody goes to the talent show.
Oh, and they perform.
See, everybody, this is my one complaint about the movie.
Is
my one.
Everybody's pretty casual about having murdered someone.
No, is that I don't think they should have pulled back on that, actually.
He should have died.
No, I don't think he should have died. I think when they say they've looked down there and he's not there, I don't think they should be able to see. I think they should have been staring into just a dark pit.
An abyss.
Yeah, like a quarry.
And really not know whether he's alive or dead.
Okay.
Because...
I think that's how they were playing it.
No, but they say so many times, nothing's there, nothing's there. And when I watch this movie, I mean, I'm in every moment. I'm suspending my
very
disbelief.
Clearly.
And when they say he's not there, I'm like, well, I guess he did make it. And I don't want to even
but
entertain
Stephanie Zuniga doesn't think that. She is devastated.
Like, if they don't see him down there, though, then where is he?
They'll find him in the morning.
That's what I don't understand. Jason, if they are not seeing with their eyeballs that he's not in that pit,
I think they're looking down into the pit, and they don't see anything obvious, but they don't see it all. So they're telling themselves a narrative that is, we think he made it. And she's like... In her head, like, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone, and I never even got to see his eyes, which would have identified him as a person.
Right, okay.
Because I also wanted to see, like, a Sherlock kind of, how did he survive? I want to see...
Oh, I want to see it put together.
Yeah, I want to see him explain how
he's... practicing that jump specifically, you know?
Dead Man's Curve, did he set up those road signs? But can we just go back to the... You guys were not disturbed by the scene that is a date rape song?
The song is crazy. The song is basically guilting her into sex before the cunt because
there's a guy
your mom
outside.
Won't even mind.
Say sex before the cunt?
What? No, for the country.
Oh, I thought you just said sex before the cunt, which I sort of loved.
Which is the name of my second album.
Sex before the cunt.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And it's crazy to have watched this at a formative age where you're just like, oh, this is what... I mean, the way I thought about high school, I was like, but I wanted to be in there. I was like, get me in that zoo.
Yeah.
I want to get to that crazy zoo as quickly as possible.
It's that feeling of wanting to be a teenager is huge.
It's so... I mean, it's what I wanted more than anything in the world was to be a teenager. Because of this movie.
And I get it. I can see why this would be attractive because Michelle Pfeiffer is a fucking badass.
I mean,
up and down in this movie.
She's the best.
She's the best.
She's never
so
not
much
chewing
so,
like five pieces of gum.
And is wearing sunglasses for half of the movie.
I know.
She's wearing sunglasses for a full half of the movie. You cannot see the actor's eyes, which is insane.
I really realize that is a huge...
Well, it's funny you should mention that because she is chewing a lot. She's not just chewing one piece of gum. She's chewing like five. Like,
but that's what you do.
I know. I've never been able to have one piece of gum.
She can't chew one piece of gum.
I can and I won't. I'd rather have none.
If I buy a pack of gum, it's gone in two settings. Because
if I'm going to have gum, I'm going to have at least three pieces in one sitting.
So I have to buy her like Costco level gum to keep in her car so it'll fend off a week. She's like a bear. You gotta just throw gum at her.
One of my favorite characters that we have not touched on at all is the character named Dolores, who is the pink lady's intern, basically, who rides
the
a skateboard.
One with the
Pamela
pink, like
Adlon.
Pink, the little one.
No, it's not. Time out. Shut your mouth.
Yes.
Was that Pam Adlon?
Yeah.
Wait, shut up. Yeah. Everybody shut up.
Nobody's speaking.
Shut up in the
Nobody
house.
Nobody has said anything.
Are you talking to me right now and saying that someone that we know Pamela Adlon was the character Dolores in that movie. That yes. is mind-blowing. That was my favorite character.
I looked up her accident.
Trying to sleep
with her.
She got
in a car accident in the middle of the movie, so most of her scenes are doubles.
Ooh. Oh, interesting. Oh,
but yeah, but they got the main scenes.
I thought that character was hilarious.
That's right.
She was great.
And I love when she was this bra is...
Wait, will you extend hilarious even more?
Hilarious.
This bra is killing me.
This bra is killing me. You wish. I love that.
You wish. The fact that Paulette is her sister is so perfect. I mean, I just love the two of them.
It's the best. That character and her dynamic with British guy, I also liked.
So great.
And she's like, we can't see each other anymore because I've got another guy going on.
So
all that.
Great.
I thought it was
so great.
That was really good. There's good stuff in here. But the songs are...
Terrible.
Truly reprehensible.
Yeah. And they're
except
all,
about, for
they're
the
all
one.
About one thing.
Reproduction.
Except for reproduction, which is on message.
And Cool Rider. And who's that guy?
Nope. Nope. Who's that guy is an entire song that only asks one question. Who's that guy? And it's almost as if they're like, well, we can't finish the song until every character on screen says the line, who's that guy? And so the song goes on for like 7 minutes because there's a lot of people who have to say, who's that guy?
Well, obviously.
And also, let's do it for a country. And also.
Bad song.
Yeah, that's a bad song.
It's a bad song. The message
tonight.
Behind that song is...
We're going to score tonight?
Is also not
that's
a
bad
song.
That's a bad song, too. Because it's not even clever innuendo. It's not even innuendo. It's like, it is a bowling song. Yep. It just is a bowling song.
Yep.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie. But there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time
A lot of these are from June. These are June Amazon reviews of this movie.
Honestly, I would be fine to write a review for this movie. I really would. Like, I do think... Well, I don't know. I guess people watching movies now are so jaded. But
Ooh, the look on June's
they
face with
are,
the word jaded.
But there's something, to me, even the worst musical, I tip my hat to. Because I feel like it takes a certain amount of courage to put words to music and to make a musical. I just think it does. I think you have to... Really put yourself out there in a way that I appreciate.
Yes.
And I find joy in musicals. So I appreciate a musical. And I do think that there are better ones, of course. I don't like look at this, though, as like, oh, it's about the music. It's not. If you're looking for
what
great
you love,
musical,
what you love about it is not musical, but it is a musical.
But it is a musical. That's
yes.
right.
What you love about it happens to be.
But I
cut all the songs out, and it would be
it.
A movie you would still love.
Well, except for Cool Rider.
Okay.
Who's that guy? Reproduction.
All of them.
Except for all the songs.
All the songs. Obviously,
what's
we
the
had...
last song she sings when she's playing Winter.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy dream sequence.
Yeah.
That song too.
Where he's like suddenly in like different gear,
talking from a pile of burnt motorcycles.
And let's do it for America. Go
on. Obviously, we have a second opinion, and so does June. Or people have a second opinion, so does June. It's not time for second opinions.
What do they do to show a different view? They get a second opinion Amazon review. It's a 5-star review written by someone like you. It's a second opinion.
I love that.
That's amazing.
That was Chelsea. Cannon.
Chelsea Cannon, best second opinion theme song ever.
Really good for Chelsea.
That is it. That is the bar. Try
there
and beat it, assholes.
All right, so this is a 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. This one is first written by Richard Beeman. Okay, sure. It's not the original Grease, but this movie has its own campy theme and quality, and I enjoy watching it from time to time to escape reality, if nothing else. That being said, it's easy to understand why Grease 3 never came around. It'd be like North and South Book 3. Totally unnecessary and empty, no matter how well it was done.
Wait, what's that?
No idea.
Is that some books?
I guess North and... Somebody should get smart, though, and produce a film that reunites a lot of these characters while they're still living. After all, Travolta and Newman aren't on fire anymore.
Oh, God.
And we'd like to see them again for fun.
So
5 stars.
A movie that puts all of these people, the characters from 1 and 2, into one movie?
I guess. This guy's basically saying, I don't like anything, but let's put this, let's make it.
I mean, you could make Grease 3 as a reunion movie. You know, a reunion movie for that age group.
The older principals,
I've got an idea.
It would take place, interestingly, if Grease 3 starred all the original actors at their like 50-year reunion, it would take place in the 90s.
I would like that.
That would be neat. Or their 40-year reunion. It would be like the 90s.
I don't know. I'm thinking like...
And June, you could
like
be in it.
Northern, yeah, I'm just... Alaska, like global warming is like setting in. Like there's a small... like
this is
Inuit
the theme
village
of that's Greece
like
3?
Getting, yeah, that's sort of like getting slightly, you know, like
less and less snow.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like the shores coming, like creeping, creeping, creeping slowly, and they decide to have like some kind of like a Midsummer Night's Dream celebration.
Of course,
that's
a musical.
Greece
that is Greece related.
And
No. Keep going. You got this.
Yeah.
This one is from Victoria English. I've only seen bits and pieces of the original Grease, and to be honest, I've never been interested in watching it.
Wow.
I have, however, watched this movie several times and can honestly say I love it. Great cast, plot, and songs. Definitely a classic. Better than the original. 5 stars.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, must we compare it to the original?
Well, I think you'd have to.
That's right.
Of course.
That would be a mistake.
But I will, I will back June up in the sense that, like, I like the story of Grease 2 more than the story of Grease 1.
Me too.
You know, like, I like this story. I think the songs are really boring.
One of the things that pops up in these reviews, too, is everyone's that loves this movie has seen it and quoted, I've seen it 200 times.
Wow.
I've seen it 300 times. I've seen it 45 times.
I think for a lot of people, it probably existed in a similar way to June, which is it was their first VHS or something.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sure.
Over 200, you think?
Well, there was one summer I actually remember watching it almost every day.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there were two movies. And
it
was so awesome to watch a movie that, I probably watched it every day. So that's a summer of seeing it.
That's
I'd say over 200 times.
How about that? Wow. Jeez.
I know if you were to play it right now, I could probably do every line from the movie.
You were doing it.
I was. Yeah, I was.
I can't explain myself, but I like Grease 2 more than the original Grease.
Wait, Paul, are you speaking for yourself?
I'm speaking as Gina. I can't explain myself, but I like Grease 2 more than the original Grease. I know I'm crazy. Wait, am I crazy?
Whoa.
No, this movie is great. Why is it great? Because it's funny. It's funny, and it's got attractive people in it. Plus, they got that whole school pageant talent show thing, and that's just so... You get it.
Oh,
5 stars.
I get it.
And then this is the other one that, like, again, this is just one other one that's almost like a haiku.
Awesome.
Love it. Could watch it every week. Can't watch it enough. Love Grease 1, 2. I'm not sure what else to say. 5 stars. All around fun sing-along movie.
I get it. I get the appreciation of the movie.
To me, I remember watching Grease 1, and I loved it. But Grease 1, I remember thinking, was a bit of a bore compared to this. Grease 1 was a bit of a bore.
That's what everyone says here. Everyone says Grease 1 is a bore. Grease 2 is amazing.
If you really want to, like, have some fun,
whoa,
you're going to want to watch Grease.
So basically what you're saying is, like, Grease 1 is a prude and Grease 2 is a
Grease
slut.
Grease 2 is, like,
a horny slut.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like,
it's true.
I want to watch, like, a saucier movie. Like, I'm going to put on Grease 2.
Yeah. I think that's true.
For sure.
Can I ask you guys one last question? Please. Oh, no. I know
no,
you
No, go,
you
go ahead. No.
All right. So all of the clothes that Johnny wears...
Mm-hmm.
Has T-birds embroidered on it. This is an identity crisis. That's what I think. But listen, why is Stephanie always wearing glasses throughout the first act?
Sunglasses?
Mm-hmm. She is. She's wearing sunglasses constantly in the movie.
So what happened? Did she like...
It's bright.
Can we work this out?
I mean, I think this was like... It was cool, quote unquote.
Yeah, she was like.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
and when she takes them off, is when she becomes vulnerable.
Well, I do think this idea of being cool was such a teenage idea, and I do wonder if it's if it has that currency anymore, of similar to what you're saying about losing your virginity, like, because I do remember thinking kids were cool or not cool, and now I don't ever think of people as cool or not cool.
You should.
But yeah, yeah. What about me?
But I mean, maybe there are certain people I think of who, like, have like amazing style, or I can appreciate their aesthetic, whatever. But
go through the room and say who's cool and who's not cool.
Okay, great.
she keeps a list. It's in her bullet journal.
No, but I do wonder if kids now conceive of it in that way of like you're either, like Stephanie Zanoni was so cool. Like, do they still think of kids as, are we post-cool? Is everybody just like on, you know, everybody's got their own YouTube channel and that's great?
Constitutes cool is more of the question. Because I'm sure there is still a hierarchy, but what is it predicated on now?
Right.
That's what I wonder.
You know what I wonder?
What? I know I'm going to regret this. What do you wonder?
I wonder when the fuck you're going to stop talking, because I'm bored.
Oh, I love you.
Obviously, there's a lot of things to say, and if you want to continue to keep this conversation going, you can call us at 619-PAUL-ASK.
I love you.
619-PAUL-ASK, and you can leave your own correction and omission or whatever you want to talk about. We'll play it on our mini episode, 619-PAUL-ASK. And we'll definitely check in with our good friend Blake J. Harris, who's going to be talking to some of the players from this film find out some behind-the-scenes info. But now, before we go around the table. I think the answers are clear. Would you recommend this movie? Would you recommend people to watch this movie in regards to this podcast? That's what I would say. Like,
For me, absolutely.
Of course.
In my opinion... I would say in like the opening number, there's a lot of numbers that you can fast forward through because the songs are not relevant to the story.
The only numbers that you should fast forward through are the T-Bird like weird number where they do the silhouettes while they're practicing.
Correct.
Like you absolutely should fast forward through that. And that's it.
Nope.
Motherfucker, that's it.
Because this movie is straight up 2 hours long. I would speed through the entirety of the opening first day of school.
That's like 11
minutes.
There
are no lyrics.
So much fun.
It's 7 minutes long. It's 7 minutes long. And that's all of it. It is not worth it.
It is worth it because at the very end of it, when a kid, you think the song's over, and then a kid runs over to the window and jumps in.
Love that moment.
And then they end it. It's worth the whole thing.
In fact, it's not. But I also appreciate that moment.
If you like jumping, I prefer the end of the movie where they all jump and it freezes.
Yeah.
I
do love that.
If you think, I wonder if I could fast forward right now, you can.
Yes.
But 100% watch.
Okay. My two cents as Anna Faris, Jason Mendoza hit me on the shoulder. It still hurts. So it turns out he's weirdly strong, but also he can't eat eggs. So, yes, I recommend Grease 2.
I also recommend... Good, right? I recommend this movie because it's not bad. It's just... And I did some research on it, and I found out simply this. The script was not written by the time they started shooting.
Oh, wow.
So Dee Dee Cohn as Frenchie was written in when they started shooting, but written out by the time the movie stopped shooting. So it wasn't that she is like not in it. It's like they rewrote the script throughout shooting that her character was eliminated.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like that's what you're watching a lot of. Like the substitute teacher comes in. Tab Hunter, and his story is like, everybody's like kind of, things are introduced. And whether or not they come out in the wash, we don't know.
It's a mess of a movie, but it's not. But there's
it's in that
it's
way
so
it's
much
fun.
Joy
but,
in
but
it.
June
there's
is
so much
but
joy
what
in
June
it.
Loves about it is there is correct.
Yes,
you're
if you
right.
were held in a basement and watched this movie 200 times, you would also grow to love it.
Yes, if you had Stockholm syndrome for this movie,
this is a
you would also think it was good.
Who's gonna chain me into a basement?
Oh boy.
Uh-oh. It would be like a sloth from Goonies if he was watching Grease 2.
Someone chain me
it's
in
room.
A basement.
It's room with one VHS tape.
Make me watch Grease 2.
That's
forever,
that.
Forever and ever.
You'll win an Oscar. You'll win an Oscar for the Jason keeps you in a basement.
Yep, and watching. I just make you watch Grease too.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, it's like Michelle Pfeiffer dancing around. Like, what's the problem,
folks?
What is the problem here?
Can I please, like, a little more split pea or
anything? No, keep watching.
Oh, cool.
You'll get soup when you know all the lyrics to Cool Rider.
I'm a cool rider.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Cut that into the song, fans.
Anna, you have an amazing podcast that we've all been guests on now, and you should definitely check it out. It's called Anna Faris's Unqualified. It comes out every Tuesday.
Thanks.
Awesome. Definitely check that show out if you've not listened to it. Amazing episodes there. What's a good starter episode that you would tell people to listen to?
I would say actually Paul Scheer.
No.
Yes, all Paul right. Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas, and now June.
We did a
Diane Raphael.
And then June, also your hit show.
I love
show.
You. I love and you I too. Thank you so much. For being here.
Your hit show is on CBS.
Oh, yeah.
Killing it. Thursday nights at 9 p.m.
Yeah, I guess it's called Mom.
It is called Mom.
And that's the title. It is called Mom.
Wait, yeah, it's a longer title.
Oh, really?
It is called Mom.
Wait. What was
the show is called It Is Again? Called Mom.
Oh, okay.
It is called Mom.
It is called Mom. all right. Jason, what do you want to plug?
When does this come out, Paul?
This will be the 12-9.
As of right now, you have had 2 weeks to watch Gilmore Girls. I am on the episode called Spring.
I can't wait.
My dreams all came
you
true.
You are Spring.
Thank you, honey. Watch the four episodes
Fuck
of Gilmore
you.
Girls. A year in the life. And also, and this is going sideways completely from our podcast network, but there is an amazing podcast right now called Crime Town.
Ooh, I'm writing that down.
That is unreal. Every
good rhyme.
Every crime season is a deep dive into the crime of one city. The inaugural season is going on right now, and it is Providence, Rhode Island, and it is fascinating. It is called Crime Town. Buddy Cianci.
Is it
Cianci.
Fictional? Or
no,
not?
It is like a documentary series.
Ginny?
Podcast documentary.
So
if it's on Gimlet. Things that we like. I've been really into the CNBC show The Prophets, starring Marcos Lemonis.
He's a nice Greek man.
He's a nice, lovely Greek man.
Yeah, I love that show as well.
If we're talking about things we like, I like Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
I do too.
We too. Our that's a big.
I don't know
Wednesday
what that
for
is.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a child's show.
Oh, that's why I don't know what it is. By the way, thank God I don't know what it is. Right?
It's
what if I was like, I also love that? Wouldn't you be like, ooh boy, that's worrisome.
You could definitely check me out on that Star show, Blunt Talk, with Patrick Stewart. I think I am on this week or I was on last week.
Nice.
Figure it out.
Watch it.
All right. That is all. A big thank you to the amazing people that put this show together. First of all, thank you to everybody here at the Unqualified Compound for hosting us here. To Avril Halley, who cuts all of our clips. You can follow her on Movie Bitches on YouTube. July Diaz, who does all of the listening and making sure the show sounds good. Nate Kiley does all of our research. Marissa Zeitz puts it all together. Leanna Waldron designs all of our cool stuff. And everybody at Earwolf, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm John Lennon, and I'm simply having a wonderful Christmas time with all my new Earwolf merch. Just look at what Earwolf added to their store this year. Make your friends jealous, guys, with the brand new Earwolf Activity Book. Go on a magical mystery tour in your Hello from the Magic Tavern t-shirt. Shake it up, baby, with the longest, shortest time baby onesie. And there's gear from Comedy Bang Bang, How Did This Get Made, and so much more. Imagine all the deals. Go to store.earwolf.com today and use the promo code HOHO to get 15% off your purchase if you order by December 10th. Pick up a great gift for the podcast fan in your life this holiday season. Drums.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.